There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, Intuit.com to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Now, you were saying off mic about how you took a little bit of an edible.
Oh,
tell me the strength.
Yeah.
Tell me the brand. Tell me the type.
It's those Camino ones that are all over New York City.
Very popular
now.
With the girls.
Very popular with the girls. Although it is doing that thing, and it's like a minor, I don't think so, honey, where it's like, instead of saying like sativa, indica, or like hybrid, they just go, uplifting.
No, just be straight with me.
Social.
I'm just
like, tell me what
I'm
this
not a
is.
Child.
I'm not a child.
Sexual culture number 8.
I'm not a child.
And so just tell me what I'm putting in my body. I know sativa, hybrid, indica, I know all the things.
Honey.
My thing is, I might have to go to edibles because I'm smoking all the time now. I used to be a bowl person.
Really
I used to be a flower person. Now I smoke joints constantly. And like, I'm going to need my voice soon. And so now I'm just like, it's soft launch.
Soft launch.
But it's getting rougher and rougher and rougher. And also I'm waking up and feeling hungover.
Yeah.
In a way that I'm like, but I didn't even drink.
Yeah. No.
So allergies are weird right now.
Let's talk about this.
Let's get into the allergy of it all.
Do you feel a little duped coming back to New York? Because I feel like the trees aren't as spermy in LA.
Sister, speak.
It really hits you like a ton of bricks here.
But then I'm on my group chat with the LA fags, and they're saying they can't breathe. And so now I'm just
like... Well,
that's
the fire. That's the fires.
Apparently it's national, girl. We're back in the studio with no cans. Last week we had no cans, and now it just really feels like talking and not podcasting.
And I feel like this is the right sort of schema, the right energy for our guest. I'm so thrilled.
Because here's the thing. It's like, here we are sitting here talking, and then you zoom out a second. Not only is there recording equipment here, but there's a guest here.
There's a guest.
Who's sort of the king of all kings, just released a new book, The Daddy Diaries, The Year I Grew Up, by our guest. Wouldn't you agree... Pop culture icon.
Because you go, he's friends with like Barry Diller, you know? Like he's been to Lorne Michaels' house in the Hamptons. He's
love the abbreviation of SJ.
SJ. Oh, SJ
came. Oh my God.
You know, Hickey. Oh, Hickey came over. Oh, I saw Plaza Suite. Hickey was such a good director.
Loved Plaza Suite.
Oh
my
God.
And the constant reference to Plaza Suite. It was like a euphoric trigger for me because every single time I think about Plaza Suite, I think about
comedy,
We call her too. It's actually Real Culture number 11.
We call her SJ too.
When she came out in Act 2 in that fucking blue number, you better fuck off.
Mike Nichols could never.
I said in the theater, I was in the 6th row, I said, fuck off.
Fuck off.
But I didn't.
Oh, can we just share something? So Matt and I went to a screening of...
Two Big Dicks.
Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson's...
That was good.
...upcoming A24 musical.
Mm-hmm.
There's a line in there. It doesn't really matter what the context is, but someone yells at Josh, you know what? Fuck off.
Yeah.
And it's powerful.
Very powerful phrase.
Very
fuck
powerful.
Off.
Fuck off.
I have a shirt that says it. Thank you, HBO Succession marketing team, for sending
Logan
that in
Roy.
A big box. Listen, back to the guest. This is someone who I'm sort of conflicting right now because like I love the guest. The guest is one of my favorite people on earth. The guest has put me in the book.
The guest has put you in the book.
You're in the book too, but it just mentions show with Bowen Yang and Matt Rogers was a lot of fun.
Oh, and then you know what he said, which what I really appreciated? Saw Fire Island.
I know.
Which was really, really cute. Quote, really cute, which I think perfect reveal.
And then he said, I hope that people don't come to Fire Island as a result of this. And we want to echo that statement.
We do.
Don't come. Call me Kamala. Do not come.
In the words of Kamala Harris, do not come.
It's Rule of Culture number 33. In the words of Kamala Harris, do not come. We want to thank our vice president for being so welcoming. Now, let's discuss
our guest.
Our guest, I mean, author, talk show host, producer, like maker of culture. And isn't that what this is all about, this podcast, Bowen Yang?
Absolutely. We feel really honored in his presence. Also, really serene, too.
A lovely man. Easy to talk to.
Novel. For a living. Novel. He hosts Radio Andy. He hosts Watch What Happens Live.
Mm-hmm.
Executive producer of Every Housewives.
It's an indica you took.
It's not. It's not.
Okay.
It said uplifting.
Please welcome into your ears, Andy Cohen!
Oh, you guys.
You're all dressed up for work. It's something.
I just taped a show.
Oh,
what was it?
Two.
Watch What Happens?
Yes.
Who were the guests?
The first show was the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, lovely.
And the second show was Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, and Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
book
God.
Club gal.
The book club gals. So two high-wattage shows.
Oh, yeah, big
wow.
time.
Really sure. great.
So did the Joe Bros sort of come in with any Bravo knowledge, or is that sort of
asked them at the top. There is a scene from what's that movie they did?
Love Again. Oh no, Camp Rock.
Where Sheena Shea delivers a pizza.
Oh my God, Sheena Shea
played it, and I said, "Do you know who this woman is?" And Kevin Jonas knew. His wife watches everything. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Kevin gets it. I mean, they all get it. All lovely boys.
Yeah, lovely boys. Yeah. Very sweet.
They're good.
They said they regret the chastity rings.
Well, I would too.
Yeah, right.
But it's like a fun
it's part of their lore.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, then they came back so fucking horny.
They did.
They
I
came,
know.
And then remember when Nick was like flirting with the gay community for a second and then they had him speak at Stonewall. Remember that?
That got people mad.
Got people mad because why are you putting him up there?
Oh my God.
But, you know, I remember once Nick was on the show years ago, early in the run of Watch What Happens Live, when we did an experiment for about a year where Sandra Bernhard was going to be my Andy Rooney, if you got that
right. Oh my God.
And once a week on Thursday, she came out and did a segment called Sandrology, where she would come out and do a rant. I was like, I want to give you 2 minutes at the end of every Thursday episode. Say whatever you want, whatever. So she would come out and do it, and the guests would sit there in stunned silence because they didn't know what was happening. Certainly Nick Jonas. And so then we kept Sandra for the after show, and she's sitting at the bar, quipping and quapping.
Doing her thing.
And she says to Nick Jonas, "Where do you live, honey?" And he said, "Chelsea." He said, "I really love it there." And she said, "Oh, honey, I bet they love you." And it was, and he didn't get it. It was so great.
No,
and he was so young.
Yeah,
it was
he didn't
really good.
Get it.
Yeah.
I think he gets it now, and that's why he doesn't do all that.
Right. Priyanka.
Priyanka. Oh, wait, can I share something?
Share.
I think I'm allowed to share this.
Okay.
Insider.
April 2020. We're all locked up at home.
Uh-huh.
SNL's like, we got to do these at-home shows.
Yeah.
Send in your sketches.
Yes.
Julio Torres and I are like, do we write a sequel to Sara Lee?
Uh-huh.
Let's see if Nick Jonas is available. We hear Nick Jonas is interested in being in sketches.
Yes.
Okay.
We write him a whole sequel to Sara Lee called Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
Great.
And it's like filthy.
It's filthy and gay. And the original, for people that don't know, Harry Styles.
Is a social media intern at Sara Lee. He kind of mixes up his accounts.
Wreck Me King, et cetera.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And it was me full circle because Nick Jonas is in that one.
Yes.
Wow.
In Instagram
Featured.
Form. And so basically we sent it to him. His people got back to us. They said Nick is very sensitive to queer baiting and...
Which we love.
I mean, that's growth, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm down with Nick doing a little queer baiting.
Me too.
I would love just a little bit of queer baiting from everyone.
Show a little peek of butt.
Yes. But that's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to say I'm above this, okay? I've been a gay man for a very long time.
Mm.
Right. I have done the thing where I Google celebrity name shirtless.
Right.
Let's just say when you do that with him, there's no shortage.
No.
It is a treasure trove.
Yes.
No.
I asked him actually about 2 hours ago why he stopped with the shirtless.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was too exhausting to maintain it.
That.
And I didn't know if he meant maintaining his body or maintaining the postings. But also he said that he didn't like it because what people would think about was the shirtless and not the music.
Not the music.
You
got to be thinking about the music. I mean, they have good music, which also gets lost. I'm a sucker. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
That was good.
Yeah. And like this album is like leaning into dad rock.
It's very yacht rocky.
Love
it.
Love yacht rock.
Wait, speaking of yacht rock, one of my favorite things, and this isn't even yacht rock really, because I think that Jimmy Buffett actually defies characterization.
Oh.
But Jimmy Buffett appears so much in the book.
He does.
I'm like a parrot head from birth.
Oh, is that true?
My dad is a huge parrot. I actually have a Jimmy Buffett vintage concert t-shirt from like 81.
Oh my God.
That my dad had, some of my prized possessions. And Jimmy Buffett appears so much in your book. Do you have a relationship with Jimmy Buffett?
You know, I'm really good friends with Jane Buffett, who's one of the coolest people you will ever meet.
Yeah.
She is like the greatest hostess, and the hangs at their house are really good.
I bet.
And I had to kind of restrain myself from really going into it in the book.
Yeah.
But she is so cool. But there is a funny story in the book where I went out to dinner with them one night in Sag Harbor, and I'm pals with them and I'm buddies with Jimmy and I love him.
That's awesome.
And we went to get froyo after, and I was kind of explaining to him how froyo works at the wasn't
the
like
handles,
a 16 handles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Buda Berry in Sag Harbor on Main Street. And so I do a Q&A with my audience every night before Watch What Happens Live. Uh-huh. 2 weeks later, someone raises their hand and says, I just want you to know this isn't a question, it's just a comment. I saw you at Buda Berry helping your dad get frozen yogurt. And I just wanted you didn't know how sweet you were being with your dad. I go, that wasn't my dad. That was Jimmy fucking Buffett.
Unbelievable.
You idiot. And so I called Jane. I go, this is the funniest story. She goes, oh my God, you got to tell Jimmy that. I go, well, is he going to think it's funny? She goes, Jimmy's going to die. You got to tell him. So she told him, and then every time I see him now, he calls me son and I call him dad.
I
That's
love
so
it.
Good.
What a good dad to have.
Yeah, I know.
Cool dad.
Cool dad.
It's actually Real Coaster number 80. Jimmy Buffett is a cool dad.
Yes, sir.
I have so much knowledge of Jimmy Buffett from one of like the songs you know by heart.
Yes.
I really know them by heart.
Wow.
I can whip out a pencil thin mustache.
Yes.
Hard.
That's fun.
I feel like over the years you've not fully excavated this. Like it's always like just underneath the surface.
Wow.
Well, my father.
If you're ever in the Hamptons, I'm bringing you.
You know the one time I went to the Hamptons last year for a wedding. You know who I ran into at a restaurant? Ramona Singer.
Oh boy.
Who doesn't know who I am? But I was walking.
She doesn't know who anybody.
No,
is. She barely knows who I am.
She doesn't. Right. I was walking by the hostess stand where she was waiting, and she looks at me and she kind of goes, "Hi," and I was like, "Big fan." I'm like, not.
Right.
She goes, oh, that's very sweet. Thank you so much.
That's good.
Oh, what's very sweet? It's no Cecily Strong.
That's a Cecily Strong.
Ramona is always on brand, which I actually love about her.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the book where she asks me if I'm going to Teresa's wedding. She texts me, are you going to Teresa's wedding? And I went to Montana that weekend. And I said, no, I'm going to Montana. She said, I've always wanted to go there. And I said, Ramona, didn't you go there in your season 4 trip when Aviva had asthma? And she goes, oh my God, I think you're right. I totally forgot. I'm like,
authentically herself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bowen ran into her one time on the street.
I ran into her one time on the street. This was like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I was walking home from work. She'd like just come out of a van with like 3 other women walking into like, I want to say like Balthazar or something.
Right.
And then I was shameless.
Bill Bouquet.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, okay, but go on.
But I did the thing where I was just like, can I get a pic? I knew what I was dealing with.
Yes.
I skipped the pleasantries.
What was the turn down?
There was no turn down.
Oh, she did it?
She did it, but she...
Wow, I'm stunned.
But
do
like,
it quick. Surprising. Do it quick.
Yeah.
Do it quick.
Yeah.
It was do it quick. And then,
yes,
and then the smile for the camera.
And then
I said,
dust.
Thank you. No eye contact.
Yes.
I love having these... Well, now it's different because I think we... Obviously, they know who you are. I've been on Watch What Happens Live a bunch. They may know who I am. But like now you meet them and it's a little bit different. But back in the day when that could happen...
Huge.
Like I have a couple favorite interactions, which was... Okay, one time Garcelle came on this podcast. It was virtual. She was lovely. We had a really good episode with her.
Are you
close with her? Because it seems like you guys
really
are close.
I really like her.
She's amazing on the show.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's really good.
Because I was listening to, I was reading the book, and it was funny because a lot of the events that you have Garcelle and Rinna at, like they're together.
Yes.
And then it must have turned the moment.
No, what was interesting is they spoke at my Hollywood Star.
Yes.
And there was a whole thing that happened around that because that was... 3 days before I got my star in Hollywood, or 2 days before, they returned from Aspen. where the Kathy Hilton thing happened. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's all on TMZ. Mm-hmm. What happened? There's all these allegations. And we're like, who is leaking it? And Rin is calling me saying, I got to bring this up on the show. It didn't happen on camera, but I have to bring it up and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, look, you do what you got to do. You know, say your piece. You know, and I was saying to her, I just, you know, think about the optics. Think about if this is going to land for you, but do whatever you want to do. But it was so wild because we were trying to figure out who from the cast was leaking shit.
Yeah, because it had to be one of them, right?
She and Garcelle were not in a good place at that moment. And there they are getting up to represent all the housewives at my star thing.
Yeah.
And this Kathy Hilton thing was happening. It was very fraught.
When someone comes to you like that, like when Irina comes to you like that, and it's like, I am intent on doing this thing and you have to let me do it or whatever. Not that they're asking you permission.
Right.
What do you think is the missing thread for them? Like, what do you want to tell them and be like?
Well, no, sometimes with that one, I was like, look, do whatever you you know, she felt very strongly about it. She was very upset.
Yeah.
And I said, do what you want to. But I remember saying to her, look, the perception is that you're going after everybody. Oh, yeah. And so I just don't know how this is going to land.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. But do you.
Yeah. And then it landed how it did.
Right? Totally. Well, that very prescient of you because it backfired. Totally.
100%. I was shocked when they actually went as deep into it on that reunion as they did when Erica was like, well, Kathy, you called the guy a faggot.
Yes.
I was like, oh. And then at that point, you're kind of like, well, why would they go there? Why would she bring that word into it if that did not happen? I don't see a world
where Erica just makes that up.
Where Erica says the word faggot on reality television for no reason.
Right, right.
Unless it's that diabolical, which I just don't believe Erica is. Mm-hmm. I'm coming back around on Erica Jane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my thing is like, I'm really looking forward to, and I know you cannot confirm or deny, but a more fun Beverly Hills season. Like I would
last
like
season
to see
was pretty great. Excuse me.
No. Mean, not even. Know, here,
excuse
listen
me.
To
hold
me.
On. Can I just say
that's not what I'm saying. But yeah,
this is my rant.
Yeah, yeah.
I have two little rants.
Yeah.
One is, it's so upsetting as a producer of the show that first of all, it's a balancing act because everybody's passion is what fuels these shows, and it's so great. But as a producer, you want to save what is happening for, you know, you want people to find out on the show. It's so fun watching Succession and not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many leaks. And every time the cast is out filming, it's like online, oh, they were arguing about something. Sometimes it's right. Sometimes it's wrong. What I don't like is that half the time the response is, oh, this season looks so boring. It's like, well, you don't know what's happening. But I feel that Beverly Hills for years got a bad rap as, you know, nothing's happening.
Slow.
Why are we still talking about it? It's slow.
Right.
And then last season, which was drama packed.
It really was.
Every episode, it was shocking. It was sensational. And now you're saying,
no.
Why can't we have a little fun?
And this is what, they all get along better, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when I say
that's how I feel
fun
about Atlanta. I want them to get along better.
I would agree.
Yes.
I mean, what I'm saying about Beverly Hills is it was very dark.
Yes.
And the way it ended with Kyle being the way it was, and they couldn't even make a toast.
I was so upset with how it ended. Very upset. There was a moment where Garcelle turned to me at the reunion, and this may be in the book, and kind of, it was while Kathy and Kyle were, and she kind of mouthed to me, like, what are we doing? Something like that. And it was, and when there's shit with sisters or sister-in-laws, whatever, you know, that's when you sit there and think, oh man, this is rough.
Is that the feeling?
But I understand what you're saying about fun. We love fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, our favorite right now, I texted you this, is the Housewives of Miami. We scream.
I love it. Oh. It's so, when Adriana, first of all, when she squeak, the wheelchair coming down.
Did you guys add that in?
You had to have added that in.
That's a really good question. You know, we don't love sound effects.
Okay, then.
And I always put in my notes, take that out.
Uh-huh.
But I don't, that's I a really good
you,
question.
No, but if that's sticking with you, then I believe that it's real, and that's hilarious.
It's so funny. But also, what about Adriana's letter from Marisol's liver?
I mean, that was the reason why I reached out. I was like, this is.
It was, did we talk about that?
I reached out to you. I was like, I need to, next time I'm in the clubhouse, see that frame.
It's sitting, it's sitting on my desk at home.
I said, or it needs to be at
BravoCon. No, it's going to be at BravoCon. It has to. I took it. I was like, I need this. But what you need to know about that was I had just spent solidly 20 minutes, half hour, trying to negotiate peace between Marisol and Adriana, and we kind of got there.
Yeah.
Adriana then says one more thing.
Yep.
I have this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I open it and I'm like,
what is
this is bad. Because I see who it's from, Marisol's liver. I'm like, but I have to say that I remember going home that night. I popped my edible of choice, which is a Chiba Chew 10 milligram sativa, which gets me exactly the right high every time. And I want you to protect your voice. You are a singer. You need it. Move to the edibles. This isn't working out for you. Find your high and stay with it. The great thing about an edible is you find your dose, and then it's there, and it gets you the same high every time.
We were with Ben Platt the other night at the Muna concert, and he says to me, because he was whispering, because he has to be in parade. Right. And I was like, I just realized why you're whispering. And I was like, it's such a bummer when I have to get ready to tour and stuff and I'm going to record soon because I love weed and he loves weed.
Right.
And then he said to me, well, you know, it's not the smoking that drives you out. It's actually the THC itself.
No, what?
So even when you do an edible, and that's from Ben Platt, best singer in the world.
My mom is so upset that I am not married to Ben.
To Ben?
It is all, she's like, why can't you marry nice Ben Jewish Platt? Boy. And she's met the mother. I mean, it's like,
he's one of my favorite people that we've gotten to meet through this.
Oh, that's great.
Like, he's become a genuine friend to us. Love Noah. And I was like, have you gotten to see Parade
who's
yet?
Who's Noah?
Noah Galvin is his fiance.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Absolutely. Have you seen Parade yet?
I haven't. I need to.
Seeing it next Thursday.
Oh, shit. I have to give up my ticket.
Oh.
Why? I have to be in London the whole
I'll take it.
We're going to London to see Beyonce. When are you seeing Renaissance? Ooh,
you know what? My summer concert is Madonna because I'm so old. No, I'm such an old queen.
I don't have tickets yet, but I want to.
You know what? I have a MetLife aversion.
Oh, wow.
Completely understandable.
It is literally a trap. If you don't leave at the right time, you will be there for 3 hours.
You believe we're
going to
be doing that twice?
I left. There's a moment in the book. I went and saw McCartney at MetLife, and we left. Hickey and I made him leave, and we raced out of there, and we missed the encore. He did a duet with a John Lennon on the screen.
No.
And it was like, and I was like, you know what? It's okay.
But whatever. I mean, it's like we went to
Gaga, and then we had to walk past
it's
the train.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
The only place the Uber could pick us up was on the side of the highway.
Yeah, we had to literally go to the side of the highway.
Wow.
And then I remember when I saw Taylor do Reputation. I mean, we love a rain show in the moment.
Yes.
It was pouring and she was
but
like, killing it.
It's when the
afterwards,
Molly's
it was a
off.
Nightmare.
Right.
And then we're going to see Eras May 28th.
How'd you get your Taylor tickets? Having
went on
a very
to like,
hard time for my niece.
I just paid too much for them.
Oh, okay.
Is the answer.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh. It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy.
And new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay. With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Well, spring is in full bloom. Are your finances blooming too?
With the Chime Secured Credit Builder Visa credit card, it's easy to start building credit with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments with no annual fees or interest.
And if your credit scores grow, So could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or a home.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
You can use it everywhere Visa credit cards are accepted. Take back your finances. Build credit using your own money.
Yeah. Did you know that with Chime Credit Builder that you can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
I did. You can also overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit, sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a credit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores right away. Get started today at Chime.com/culturistas. That's Chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.
Now, before we ask you the question, I did sort of want to get into it with you.
Okay.
About the way I come up in your book, because okay. We had agreed to sleep under the rug. What happened one evening in April of 2022?
Okay.
When I made my debut on Watch What Happens
Live. That was your clubhouse debut, and who were you on with?
Karen Huger, the Grand Dame.
Yes. That was an explosive That was a layup for you.
I want you to know, I got my call that was going to happen. I was in the makeup trailer for I Love That For You.
Yeah.
And I think turned to Molly.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to be on with, because they know.
Yeah.
I Love That For You is a huge housewife set.
Yes.
So everyone loves it. Vanessa, Molly,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, I'm going to be on with Karen Huger. It was like a moment. I almost got like emotional about
it
because I love Karen so much. So then they say, we want you to do an I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yeah.
I had just seen an episode of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Where I think Gia overstepped.
Yeah. Yes.
And let me say 21-year-old Gia.
Yes, yes, yes.
So who's in a full beat in a confessional.
Yes, yes.
And can I ask you, does that mean getting paid or no?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Got it. So getting paid and like getting into it with Joe Gorga.
And you see her as an adult.
And I see her as, here's what I see her as. I see her as a player on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And so the way she's getting into it and the way that I know Teresa will act if anyone engages with her.
Yeah.
And that to me is illegal. That's an illegal move in Housewives.
Right.
Is for me to bring my daughter into it.
To
and then you can see in Joe Gorga's eyes, like, are you actually doing this for your mother? And are we going to get into it? Am I going to be the uncle that's going to have to set you right on television? So I went on Watch What Happens Live, and with my I Don't Think So, Honey, I did I Don't Think So, Honey, Gia Giudice.
It was savagely funny. It was shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It was surprising. It was very pointed
and had a lot of
emotion behind it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had my cards in front of me. I was recusing myself. I said, the views expressed here do not represent, you know,
Karen
whatever.
Karen was shook.
And by the way, after a triumphant debut performance show from you. And so I walked into the control room and my executive producer, who's such a good...
Deirdre, we love.
Deirdre, she's a really good just...
Gauge
mm-hmm. for things. And sometimes, you know, I'll go in and I'll be like, was I too pervy tonight? And she'll be like, yes, mm-hmm. you were so gross. And then we, you know... And so I was like, well, was that too much?
Yeah.
Like, what do you... You know, because I was worried about the call I was going to get from Teresa.
Yeah,
like, that's my daughter. What are you doing? And I understand that she's 21, but, it, you know, she's still a kid in our eyes.
Do I understand?
And Deirdre, yeah, exactly.
Completely.
And very cool. So we were sitting there. We were like, what are we going to do? Like,
yeah.
And we were on tape that day. And we went into, I went into Matt's dressing room and I said, listen, I think that was a little too much. And here's my concern. And you were so cool. And you thought of something different, which was Evan Goldschneider is the hottest
house husband.
Not Mauricio.
Yeah. Which I've then retracted.
And we went in. He, from his brain, did another brilliant rant.
Thank you, Boo.
And he was so professional. And we were all so blown away. And we were also so, you know, and I was worried that he was going to then blast me on the podcast.
Never.
Be like, we made him change it.
I was going to go to my grave with that.
So then I guess, yeah, I did put it in the...
You put it in the book.
In the book. But I put it in as a compliment to you because it was really...
You called him a total pro.
Yes, and he was. It really elevated you in my eyes.
Oh, thanks.
It did.
Well, they said you're in the book. I was like,
What's he say about me in the book? And then I realized it's right. The Gia thing, yes. And I was floored because I thought the Gia thing was lost to time, but I'm happy that it's out there now.
It's out there.
Because that's how I feel.
And they don't have to know what you said necessarily.
Yeah.
But see, okay, but on the subject of like this, I'm going to get a call from Teresa about this.
Yes.
I was kind of shocked to learn that like these women are really texting you every damn day.
I tried to put a lot of the inane stuff in there so that people could see, but I also think it's so funny.
Yeah,
I think it's hilarious.
I only put parts of it in there. I mean,
of course. Yes. Of course. But it's like, I didn't realize the jockeying was this jockeying. But like, I feel like it's so interesting that they have this direct line to you where you are kind of brokering like their livelihoods in a way.
You know, the ones that have been on the longest, yeah. I have the closest right. relationship yeah. to and feel the most. There are, I would say most Tears. Of the new women, if we're in contact, it's on DM or very,
very
ginger or yeah. cursory. There's a moment where I'm super high walking through the parking lot before a Dead and Company show where John Mayer has just asked me if I want to introduce the band at City Field, which is like a huge fantasy. And I'm super high and I was really, and I started to get nervous and my heart's beating. Vicky starts texting me. This is a Friday night in New York City in the summer. She starts texting me going nuts. She said, I heard you were talking about my stance on vaccines on the show and how dare you and all this stuff. And I was like, Vicky, I was talking about something that
you said
is in Ultimate Girls Trip. Yeah. It's on TV. I wasn't putting you on blast, whatever. And we're getting into it and I'm really high. And then finally I said, listen, I'm at a Grateful Dead show, at a Dead and Company show. We will deal with this on Monday. And she goes, oh, I love the Grateful Dead. Talk to you later. Yeah. Have fun, honey. And I'm like, okay, that's not it. It's like so surreal often that you have to put it in there.
Yeah.
You know?
That's perfect anecdote because I feel like, please just go with this.
Okay.
But I feel like you and Lauren are very similar in this way where you do have to, like, Lauren, I think, thinks of us as his children.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you, I don't know if it's quite that same, like, you know, level of family, like,
well, I mean,
down.
Lorne Michaels is Lorne Michaels, so.
But we're not all texting him every day being like, put me in the center sketch, you know, like.
Yes. It's,
like that
well, you
is...
know, listen, I produce a show about women with no boundaries. So,
wow.
I remember years ago when, kind of when texting was start, I mean, right, was really, no, it wasn't, so, it had already started, but Gretchen Rossi and Slade Smiley would text me at all hours. Go back with me on Orange County. Do you?
Yep. Oh,
you?
Yeah.
I'm not quite
okay.
Back, sorry.
Anyway, and I would be like, what?
Yeah.
It's 1 a.m. in New York.
Yeah.
What is happening?
But then they don't know that either. And I would imagine that because that was the first one and then it's New York, it probably gets easier. Like, I would imagine that, like, if there's like a franchise of women you're the least close with, it's like probably Salt Lake and Dubai. You know what I mean?
Right,
just because the boundary is now established.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something different.
Yeah. Because
you've hit critical mass in terms of letting these people have access to
right,
them.
Right. Right.
Like, like you have to like put the rope up.
If there's some major trauma happening or something bad, I'll be like, here's my number.
Right.
I remember last year, Heather Gay was going through a really hard time. And I was talking to her before Watch What Happens Live. And listen, it's hard being a housewife. Everyone's judging every fucking thing and whatever. And I gave her my number and I said, listen, call me if you ever need to like me to talk you off the ledge isn't as bad as you think,
right?
You know, whatever. But that's a situation where you want to be available.
Yes.
Right.
Before we ask the question, I think I should clear up something.
I love it.
We clear this up before Matt and I went on Watch What Happens Live in June last year.
Yeah.
I just went in being like, I think I had suspected.
You thought I was mad at you.
I thought you were mad at me.
Banned from the show.
I was like, I haven't been asked back. It's been, you know, a year and a half and change. Or and I was
right.
Like, I think Andy hates me. I think I offhandedly used the word. I might be like, probably, LOL, banned on the pod. Of course, New York Post picks, Page Six picks this up.
Yeah.
Like, well, but go back before that. But,
okay, so yes, of course.
What did you
of
say?
Course, what right. I said, I maybe like, in a different analogous way to Matt, was very excited to be on. I was on during like
with Monique Samuels.
Monique Samuels.
Yes, wow.
And I was later on with Candace. Think about that.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Touch points.
Touch points, Monique. Anyway, she was in front of her aquarium. I remember
right.
that.
Yes. You were on She Loves an Exotic Animal.
Yes.
Yes.
You were on remotly during COVID.
During COVID.
Summer.
In the immediate aftermath of the yeah. wine
It was
bite.
The immediate aftermath, excuse me, of George Floyd.
Yeah.
It was about, so this context is very important.
Of course.
Yeah. It was about a week or two after George Floyd.
It
so
was.
We were all on high alert. And I was quizzing Bowen on his housewives uh-huh. opinions, hot takes, and he declared that Ramona Singer was like a KKK racist.
A white supremacist.
A white supremacist.
White supremacist.
Right.
And with that George Floyd context,
mm-hmm.
and
say with, it.
I feel like those words were being thrown around a lot.
Listen, yeah, no, it's fine. Here's the thing. We wound up editing it out of the show.
Of course.
Because of it was right after George Floyd and everything was so electric
yes, yes.
that we just didn't need the narrative to
totally.
Be expressed on Watch What Happens Live. And then what was I saying to that? And
of
so
course.
We cut it out. And I think you tweeted when the episode airs,
uh-huh.
they cut out me saying,
this
calling
so
Ramona
you.
A, you know, whatever. And I think you might have tweeted one other thing, and I can't remember uh-huh. what it was. But so, yeah, we were a little salty about
of
it because
course.
We were also kind of trying to protect you and her and whatever and just trying to put something in the thing. So then you said on the pod at some point you thought you were banned uh-huh, and then uh-huh. that got picked up. I think maybe you were on pause.
I was
okay.
on pause.
Bowen was on pause.
Can we say when
oh
we saw Dorinda at the Out 100 event? Oh but and this is not, this is just her. She kept bringing that, she kept using that phrase. She was like, well, I'm on pause. And I was like, oh, so like this is just Ultimate Girls
Randy
Trip.
Randy Glanville saying, you were fired. Like, that was so.
I mean, Ultimate Girls Trip 2 was fucking.
It was my absolute fantasy.
And it came true.
I wow. absolutely loved it. Calling those women and
getting to tell them.
Hiring them.
Yeah,
instead
oh, wow.
of. It was so great. I called Brandy Glanville. She's like, what did I do? I go, Brandy, I am calling
vacation.
To offer you a job.
Oh, my.
She's God. Like, what? It was so happy. Anyway, yeah. that's the backstory with Bowen.
Perfect.
Yes.
I want to apologize.
You
for
already
the,
did.
I did.
It
but
was
I did.
Nothing. It was in the context of that moment.
Totally,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Yes. It was just an electric moment.
Of
we,
course.
You know.
And I just, it's that thing where you go, oh, I might have like completely alienated myself from this thing that I love. And then I'm like,
oh,
you know.
I'm sorry you felt
no, no,
away.
No. It's, and it's nobody's fault. And like, you would have gotten a call from Ramona. And honestly, I was...
It like, would have been... I think getting a call from Ramona would have been the least because it maybe... You know, it probably would have been picked up all over.
Yeah.
It just at that moment in time...
Of course.
It was just the moment in time.
Well, this all being said, Ramona
yes.
was absolutely brutal
right.
on those issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
and I
yes.
also
yeah.
think, like, it's funny because you talk about the last season of New York and I want to ask
yes.
about the new season
and
of
Roni
New York.
And Roni plays
coming
a part.
Up.
You see in the book
mm-hmm.
the evolution
yes.
of that plan. And yes.
And so I always felt like watching that last season of Roni, which I thought actually started stronger
yeah,
than people
too.
Give it
yeah,
credit
yeah,
for.
Yeah,
I remember
too.
When the first episode came on, I was like, oh, thank God, these are the funniest women.
Yeah,
like, I'm
no,
so excited. And then I think, like, when you have the five of them, and it was only five
it
of them together,
five.
And it's people as varying as Leah and Ebony and Lou and
yes.
Sonia and Ramona, it's like, if all you have is really to sit with each other, because you can't talk
yes,
to anyone during COVID,
right.
and you're all so, not even just disparate on the issues, you, like, ideologically, in terms of, like, the level of capability to discuss
right.
the issues, you're never going to get
no.
there.
Yeah.
I always felt like I would have loved to have seen more of a chance to bond with women that were like-minded, because
yes.
while I think of the conflict, but now it's just like, you know, we've moved on and we have the new women, which I'm like really excited
because they're
about.
Friends. Because they're friends.
They are yeah. friends. Also, you know, I want to say that that was rough. That season got so much heat and people were so
yeah.
upset about it.
And that's
it.
Your baby.
Yeah. Exactly. I
yeah.
love that show. Like,
I mean, it's
I,
the
I
best.
Just, yes. You know, but we were at a real fork in the road with Roni and
yeah.
there was a lot going on and it was really unclear how to proceed. And I, you know, look, I just thought that was the best plan to do a legacy and do a brand new Roni. And the thing about the brand new Roni, And I love it. And it's new. It's a new show. And it's so, I think it's going to be, I just want people to watch it. It's hard to watch
it. Like it's a new show.
And not think about, but where's Sonia and where's, you know, it's like, it's a totally different show. Now, there will be Roni Legacy. There will be good news coming out about that. Mm. Also, I want to say, you guys, welcome to Crappy Lake.
Oh, Luann and Sonia show. Yeah.
You guys, I've only seen four episodes. It is. I watched them all. I have nothing to do with the show. I didn't develop it. I have nothing to do with it. I have no stake in the game except that, I love these women. It is like the simple life. It's the menopausal simple life.
I'm okay.
They are. Every moment is gif-able. The shit coming out of both of their mouths, and I don't want to betray. It is a comedy like no other. I called them all the next day. I was like, I'm blown away, out of my mind.
100%.
It is spectacular. So you will get some of the fun of Roni from those two in this small town.
And I think we're good. You know what I mean?
I honestly, when that press release came out about the decision, which by the way, I think I even like texted like the group chat that day and I was like, oh, Andy's a genius. Like, this is a genius thing.
Yeah.
And it was so funny to hear, like, the housewives find out the same time as everyone else.
We had to. Well, that was in the book.
It was in the book.
I talked about that we had to let all of the Roni women know, like, 1 minute before we divided and conquered. And we're, like, texting them. And the night before, Lou had been on Watch What Happens Live. And in the middle, in a commercial break, she was like, so what's happening with the show, darling? We need to talk. Like, and I was like, okay, let's talk tomorrow at 2. Because I knew that at 2:05 the thing was going out. I was like, little does she know, we do have news here.
Yeah.
But the Roni cast is, they are the biggest leakers, and that's what happened with the Roni Legacy contracts. It was like they were all leaking shit about the thing, and then we wound up pulling the deal. We were like, you know what? We can't do this. Like,
you're gonna laugh. We were in Miami for New Year's, which is why we couldn't join you.
Yes, I wanted you on with Anderson and I. Totally
Would have been a blast, but we had plans to go to Miami, and we were on vacation, and who was there but Ali Zarin?
Right.
In a sea of gay men. Like, it's a sea of gay men and Ali Zarin.
With her, like, husband or something.
No. I don't know.
Boyfriend? I don't know.
Maybe.
If her husband,
a guy that she was with.
Like a straight guy?
I think so. I think she was there with a hetero.
Well, it was just very funny. And so we were talking to her, and I was like, what's going on with Legacy? And she's like, well, you know, they got to offer Bravo money, not Peacock money. And I almost wanted to tell her, like, don't push that.
Right.
Yeah.
Take what they're going to offer. Right. But I was, of course, in Miami and on substances, and I couldn't get into it with Ali Zarin at the gay function.
This is not the moment.
But I remember going cross-eyed and being like, oh, they're going to fuck that up. They're going to fuck that up.
That's funny.
Well, anyway, like, wait, Vanderpump. Okay. So in what's going on with all of this, because I think this is the craziest shit that's ever happened on Bravo, maybe. We have Sandoval here and Ariana. So when you are thinking of them as people in your life that you've known now for over 10 years.
Yes.
Like, when you hear this has happened, what is the process there? Is it like, oh my God, this show is about to explode? Or is it initially like, what the fuck? Like, who do you text?
My initial, the executive producer texted me the morning after the famous Sheena and Raquel appearance on Watch What Happens Live.
Which is also so surreal that
happened
that night.
I have the Tom Tom sweatshirt in my home, and he texted and said, you will never believe, but this all came out last night. I was like, what? And I called him. And
called Tom Sandoval.
No, I called Alex Baskett, and I said, and I was like, where are the cameras? Like, my first reaction was, I couldn't believe it, and where are the cameras? Like, what are we doing? How are we covering this? And they were, and that was my first reaction.
Just to like, keep it on a surface level.
And I was like, okay, who's booked on Watch What Happens Live next week? And we were going to pull, I can't remember what it was, but I was like, we need a Vanderpump person and we need to be live.
Yeah.
And then it was, we had been toying with having Jax on. And then we were like, oh my God, Jax would be so great to comment. And then we said, you know what? He's not the first one we want to hear from.
No.
Yeah.
So then we called Vanderpump and said, come on. And it was really good that she was on. She was the first voice.
She seemed like the president.
She did. It really did.
We were all dying.
Yes, and she also was very good at... She and I talked beforehand, and I said, I think we need to kind of let the steam out of everybody, because I was worried, because these are real people.
Yeah.
And I was just making sure, like, have we offered them the show psychologist? Are we, you know what I mean? Like, how is their mental health? Because this is not only going on in their lives, but fans are coming for them with, like, torches.
Yeah.
And so... You do have to think about that. And, you know, Sandoval's from St. Louis, my hometown. Yeah. So I always had this vibe with him.
Yeah.
And people were like, why do you... And by the way, I follow him on Instagram. He's from St. Louis. And everyone was like, why are you still following him? And I was like, if I unfollow him, then it becomes
then
a story.
Message.
And
yeah.
It's like on page six, he unfollowed. So it's like, just calm down.
Did you hear about the show on Monday?
Yeah.
Bummer. Or well, just a bummer that it seemed some SNL people went.
Right. Did he change the lyrics, or was it a bummer that a lot of people were there?
From the accounts that we're getting are that it was sparsely attended.
Oh, it was.
And
then
the people who were there like shouting.
As a joke.
I mean, as a
joke. And here's my thing is it's like, I'm 50-50 on that, because it's like people can spend their money wherever they want if they want to go. But my thing is that I'm sure should happen is that he should cancel this tour.
I know.
And that to me speaks to a larger Tom Sandoval thing. And I always liked Sandoval and what I saw of him. I think that he needs to really assess the fact and realize the fact that he is a narcissist and that he has tendencies that keep putting him out there.
But by the way, Vanderpump Rules is a stew pot full of narcissists.
But I don't know if textbook, definition of that word.
We get into that almost at every Housewives reunion. Someone says, you're a narcissist. And I say, we're all narcissists. The cameras are there and we're in front of them.
That's not.
And then someone says, this is the definition. I'm like, oh, you're right. Like Donald Trump is a narcissist.
Right. And
I think that this is part of what maybe you're saying also.
You're not helping him.
He's not, for sure. But also, conversely, what I always say to housewives who are in the middle of something where people are really mad at them, I always say, get off Twitter, because this doesn't exist outside of Twitter. Because when you're on the street and you're at your most hated, I guarantee people are trying to come up to you and talk to you. Now, I don't know what people are saying to Tom Sandoval, but like I also, and this is in the book, I hated it that Lisa Rinna got booed at BravoCon. Yeah. I'm like, you guys, she showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I just thought that was, I don't like that.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what kind of makes it like the stand-in for the soap in an ugly way, kind of, because we're invested in the minutia of their lives.
We are.
And then when someone does something villainous, because every show needs one, they occupy an actual villain space in our minds, and then they are real, ultimately. It's not Erica Kane.
Yes.
But it's also doing this thing where, like, the water cooler moment gets split into two. It works at like what's on the show,
and
what's airing, and what's like happening at the like concurrently in real life.
Social media, which has to be a very weird thing to deal with. It's like, I remember watching the Beverly Hills reunion, and it felt like we had to talk about so many things that were happening
on social media.
And it's almost like they don't really have answers, because it's also like you get the sense that not every woman on these shows necessarily knows how to do or handle social media. Like the Diana Jenkins of it all. Like the Diana Garcelle thing was just so frustrating to watch, because it was just like, I don't think you can even, not literally, but you're not speaking the same language here.
Yes.
And so that made it frustrating. But anyway, we can't wait to see the Vanderpump reunion. It's just surreal to watch these scenes of Ariana so fervently like go in for her friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's such a good person, and she rides so hard for Tom and Raquel, and to watch them just lie to her face. It's like with Tom Sandoval, it just has to be narcissism, and he just can't necessarily like get out of his own way. And I think Raquel, you know, she's just lost.
Guileless.
She needs to assess. But I'm sure this is coming.
Ariana's
anyway.
In Edinburgh right now, I saw.
Is she?
She posted a photo of her like in front of some beautiful castle, Scottish castle.
I'm happy that she's at the castle.
Right. Me too.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you
to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh! It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay! With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Andy, we're going to ask you the central question that we ask every guest that rolls through our studio here at Las Culturistas. And that is, what is the culture that made you say, culture is for me? This is a formative pop culture that made Andy Cohen, Andy Cohen.
All My Children.
I knew it.
All My Children. I was on Live with Kelly and Mark yesterday, and Ken Jennings
Haley and Mateo, baby.
Haley and Mateo. I played against them in an All My Children Jeopardy. The whole board was All My Children. I cleaned up. Yeah. I won so heartily.
Who is Jennifer from another planet?
I know, totally. I'm like the Glamorama. Who is Myrtle Fargate? Who are Jenny and Gray?
Who is Opal?
Yes, literally. I was wild. And I was obsessed with that show. That was my gateway. And I feel like it has informed everything about how I approach the Housewives. When we were developing the Housewives of Orange County, I was like, wait, they all go to the same tennis club? Okay, so this is localized, like in Pine Valley. All went to the Chateau. They all did this. And I found what I love about Orange County. I always refer to it as heritage storytelling. I think I maybe made it up. And it's just that our vault on Orange County is a 17-year vault. So when Tamra says this coming season, which is a return to form for Orange County,
so
by the way, but when she says, you know, Ryan's had a rough time, we can flash back 15 years to Ryan and his stepdad fighting, and you understand. So, like, you know, on All My Children, they had flashbacks going back 20 years when I married you, when I said whatever. The flashbacks, the returning characters. Give me Lori Waring stepping in season 10 and activating Vicky all over again because she married the rich guy. I love that. And I think that the Housewives are the modern soap opera.
Yes.
And I think that I always say when we part ways with a housewife, I always say you will always be a housewife. You'll always be in this community, and we will call you back at the right moment. I promise. You may think it's over right now, but we will bring you back into the game at some point. And it's, I think it's cool for the viewers. I would love it on All My Children when Nina came back for a week, yeah, for a wedding, whatever it is.
You could be like Kendall, Erica Kane's daughter,
yes,
and leave as Sarah Michelle Gellar and come back as someone else.
Yes, Eden Rigel.
Eden Rigel
or Rigel.
Oh my God. But yes, it's just so funny. We were in Disney World a couple weeks ago and we were walking past.
You guys have so much fun. I mean,
not you a, you're literally going to Miami and talking about like the pool at the fucking, what is it? Like
Standard?
The Delano?
The Standard. I know. And the Delano. I know. I have had fun.
Delano.
I have a lot of fun. I mean, I now have two kids. So I
know.
Trust me, my fun is different.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like you've balanced it so well. Just gleaning from the book, like, oh, so funny to like read, like, went to Planet Pride. It was fun. And I was like, we were there.
Yes, we saw you there. Yeah. I left some stuff out of that entry.
Of course.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I think it's an entry. That evening is an entry we all are spotty on.
Yeah, right.
I got to say, when Galantis went on, I was on another planet.
I think I was too.
Well, we were walking in Disney World and there was a huge picture of Kelly and Mark. And every time I see them, I just think Haley and Mateo.
Yeah.
And then I think, you're such close friends with Kelly and such a fan of All My Children. Were you a friend of hers when she started on the show, or was that like...
I met her when she was off the show, and I had been such a big fan of hers. And I remember when she was trying out for the Kathy Lee replacement, and I was like, oh my God. And the first time I met her, I was a producer at CBS News. She was in the lobby of CBS on West 57th Street waiting for someone, something. And the Daytime Emmys had just happened, and she had just lost to Heather Tom, who played Victoria Newman on Young and the Restless. And I went up to her, and I was like, first of all, you have to get the Kathy Lee job. And second of all, I hate that Heather Tom is a bitch. She didn't deserve that award. Like, I went crazy, and Kelly's like,
she was like, I love you.
You're just a gay guy.
Anyway, so then I saw her years later at Bryant Gumbel's Christmas party.
Whoa.
It was 14 years ago. We became, or 15, and I was like, just licking her all over, and Mark, and then we became friends, and I was like, I cannot believe I'm friends with these guys.
Yeah. Like, that picture of them together, they're just glowing and shining, and I'm like, who would ever doubt that this is exactly what this show needs to be?
Yeah, no, it's
Mark
true.
Is so good. Brutally hot.
Yeah.
He is so brutal, and like, they
His
are
arms
obviously
are very jacked right now.
I would bet. And what I love about them is they're so obviously so into each other, and they have banter all the time.
But beyond that, you know what I love about them?
What?
They fuck constantly. Like bunnies.
Yeah.
Like, they really do.
Yeah.
They just do. And they've been together for
and they
a
talk
long
about it.
Time. And they talk about it. And we talk about it.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
I love
it. You were saying that while we were walking past them. You were like, they're so horny
for each other.
Yeah, they are horny for each
That's one of my favorite things about them.
Are.
And I remember like being a little kid. Like, when my mother, I think I'd be homesick from school at some point, and like, my mother would have All My Children on, and I remember there would be like steamy scenes between like Haley and Mateo. Those might have been like formative for me, honestly.
Right, yeah.
When I was like a little kid. Didn't you also watch All My Children?
It was one of the only English language shows that my mom would watch.
Wow.
In Montreal?
We would get it in Canada, and like, when we moved to America, like, she would be like, I can hear her in her accent saying All My Children.
I have a fetish for basically, well, here's the thing. If I had to pick a category of porn,
plot-driven,
early,
you know,
80s, no, just early 80s guys, the hairdos and their bodies, and
the filter.
Those guys on the soaps would wear Don Diamond on Young and the Restless, Michael Corbett on Young and the Restless, and they would
Sonny
wear
from
these,
General Hospital, what's his name?
Maurice Bernard. I was never a big Maurice Bernard, but
I do like
they
him.
Would all wear Speedos all the time, and that's where my Speedo thing...
Sexually
formative for all of us.
Formative through soaps.
Yeah. My blind spot is for all their soaps except Passions.
Passions was huge.
Know. Passions was a sci-fi soap.
It was
NBC.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
See,
I was never a big NBC soap guy.
My mother had on the ABC ones because it all spoke to each other. Like, you could see the crossover between General
Land
Hospital,
View,
Port Charles, and All My
and
Children.
Pine Valley.
I just remember Erica Kane was like the biggest celebrity in our home.
Too.
Erica Kane and Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, that's so fun.
Which is how I came to be.
You're coming to the Buffets with me.
I would love
no, you
that.
You are. You have to let me know, like, when you're coming to the Hamptons, and I'm going to
I mean, that might be the reason I go to the Hamptons.
Do you know my Susan Lucci story?
No.
I'm going to tell it to you very quickly. It's in my first book, Most Talkative, Stories from the Front Lines of Pop Culture, which is my memoir.
Do you usually have a brand that you sell? Like, that's really...
Am I usually super shilly? You know I am. Sorry. Anyway...
No, we love it.
I'm such a shill. I will drop any name. I'm such a shill, but what...
I love
you
it.
Know what?
I'm waiting one day to, like, let my vault open, because it's not like yours, but we're picking things up over time. You probably have crazy shit.
But you know what? I have a book imprint, and I was trying a few years ago to get AD to do a diary. I was like, I would love to know. She's so smart and funny, and her observations are so good. She's such a good writer.
Yeah.
And I was like, the diary format is, which is what my new book is.
I
love the diary format, and it's inspired by the Andy Warhol diaries, which I loved as when I was 20, and I was like, that came out, and I was like, this is everything to me. But it is a license to drop names and talk about who you ran into and where you went. And it's like a dishy kibitzy thing. Mm-hmm. I digress. I was in a news writing and reporting class at Boston University. The assignment was interview a famous person. They said, shoot for the stars. I wrote letters to Sam Donaldson's publicist and Susan Lucci's publicist. I wrote what must have been the gayest letter to Susan Lucci's publicist. Long story short, the publicist said, Susan, we'll do this with you. I flew to New York. She was my first celebrity I ever met. Yeah. And you need to know, she was like my Madonna, everything. My first diva, really. I mean, Diana Ross was my first diva, my first TV diva. Mm-hmm. She was everything. Flew to New York. She came out of the double doors at All My Children. I was told to go in the lobby. Miss Susan Lucci, you have a guest in the lobby. I'm like, they're just paging Susan Lucci. She's Susan Lucci. Double doors open, full length fur coat, red knit dress, red huge hoop earrings, huge mane of 80s hair, 1989.
Oh my.
You must be Andrew. I hope you like Mexican food because I'm taking you out to lunch. And there began a whole relationship, and we are still...
Really?
Yes.
She's a legend.
A legend.
I mean, anyway. Erica Kane is the soap opera.
She was.
I mean, would we call her a villain?
She was.
She was
very self-centered. The truth of the matter is she did some really mean shit. And during August, when I was on, not a vacation with my kids, because that doesn't exist, a trip with my kids in the Hamptons for 3 weeks, which just turned out to be misery. Yeah. I was going to bed every night at like 9 at night. I discovered there is a treasure trove, why I ever doubted it would exist, on YouTube of 80s episodes in sequence of All My Children. And they're all there. And I was watching Lucci's scenes. She's so good.
She's great.
Yeah. And yeah, she was a villain. She was a bitch. She was very self-centered and said very nasty things.
She was on the show for what, 50 years?
Something like that.
I mean, so she had, I guess the character had to like grow and change. It was a sad ending.
How did you get the number for the publicist?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I called the ABC studio. I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah, Jay Mulford was the publicist.
The granularity of detail.
I remember every moment, and I have the entire interaction with Lucci 1 hour on a cassette tape that I've changed. I have it all. And once she was on my radio show and I played excerpts of it, but it was so painful for me to listen to because I'm interrupting her at every second. I am gayer than any human being has ever been, but she just went with it.
No, I mean, I bet it's like hugely, especially at that time, like, you know what I mean? Like where it feels like their relationships to their fans was different. Like nowadays it's like not happening that someone even gets contacted.
Well, but no, now you could DM them.
Yeah. Right, I mean, but that's like comes with a whole
and
other...
And say, come on my YouTube thing on Zoom.
Like you know, when we DM'd Wendy Osefo.
There you go.
Wow.
Dr. Wendy Osefo was my Erica Kane, I guess.
I love it.
I mean, we DM'd Wendy Osefo live while doing an episode of Lost Culture.
And she responded live. By the end of the episode. Amazing.
And then it was a live booking.
That's amazing. That's funny.
She's great.
What's the analog to like Warhol? Because I mean, like, I'm sure people in the past have like compared it to like The Factory, right? Like Housewives.
Oh, that's funny. Like, well, I've said for years that I think Warhol would be painting Housewives at some point or doing something.
Yes.
Because he was obsessed with making real people famous. And I think if you look at especially those early Orange County, it was a real sociological time capsule, that show. And Tom Shales, in his review of season one of Orange County, said it was a bad review. But he said someday people will look at this as a sociological time capsule of the nouveau riche living in a certain moment in time in Orange County. And it's true. And all their kitchens were the same. Vicky had this big piece of like counter art that said Caliente on her island in her. Anyway,
that's Tom Shales speaking as like a true historian, being like, yes, this is what it's going to be like. But the, you talking about like the, oh, you can like cut back to something 14, 17
it's
years
incredible.
Ago. It's like a 4D tapestry.
It is. Yeah.
It's like, oh, yes. You see it like,
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. The, wow. I think my favorite thing about it is that aspect. And also the, because I used to be years ago, I used to be that person who used to say, I'll watch anything. I'm just never watching Housewives.
Right.
I'm not.
I was kind of that way about the Kardashians.
Right.
You know?
My thing is, maybe that was a little bit of like internalized homophobia or something, or like whatever it was. But then when I finally started watching it, I remember someone suggested to me that I should start with Roni season 7 when Bethany comes back.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That was a great place to start for me because it was like happening in motion. It felt like the contemporary version of what it was at the time. And also Bethany was Bethany.
Mm-hmm. Now so, remembering, I forgot to text Bethany back. She was
rapid
fire texting me this morning. Her texts are like,
I bet.
Pow, 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 pow.
Yep. Anything relevant to our audience that you're texting with Bethany about?
She texted me saying, I have the perfect cast for a legacy series. Text me. What do you think it is? Guess. What do you think? And I was like on The View at the time and couldn't text her back.
Speaking of The View in New York, I wanted to tell you this. I texted you this. I think
Sonny Hostin this.
Did you say it came from me?
She said, I didn't because I forgot who told me. I go,
we drank with her in the Bahamas and she.
Oh, right. I remember.
What did she say when you pitched to her?
I said, I can't remember who, but it was someone of import because I knew it wasn't like a random
person on the street being like, you know who's good? That's Sonny.
Someone of import who has strong opinions.
Yep.
That's what I said. Said that you should be on Roni. And she said, those girls couldn't handle me.
And then, that's why. Right,
but then she said, which is a good. And then she said something like, I'm conflict averse or something.
That's not true.
Right.
She's on The View. Yes. Here's exactly why it's not true. And this, I'm going to tell you this in a nutshell, is why she should be a housewife. Because here's the thing. And you're talking with Bethany and I almost feel like this would be beneficial for her too in a perfect world. There was a day on The View where Meghan McCain was spouting doing off her about thing. Her doing yes. her thing. And Sonny goes,
Bethany comes up.
And Sonny goes,
oh, right.
You know, she wasn't very nice to my kids. And Meghan, And then Sonny goes, I'll tell the story. We had a house next to each other in the Hamptons. Bethany screamed at my kids and said to stop making noise at the beach during the day. So I walked over there and knocked on the door, and I said, if you have a problem, you don't scream at my kids, you come to me. And then on Watch What Happens Live, Bethany said, yeah, I think she's got a drug problem or a drinking problem or something. And thus is my point.
Yeah.
This Sonny was doing Housewives right
she
there.
She was doing the work.
She was saying on camera.
You know what? You got a very good point.
And also,
and she
she's glamour.
New, yeah.
She's way, a professional. She's engaged in her own life.
I have to say, the new cast, they are all professionals.
Mm-hmm.
They have jobs. The glamour. They have great apartments.
Well, Jenna Lyons. Is Jenna Lyons giving?
She's giving. She's fascinating.
Okay.
She's a fascinating character. And she drives a lot of story without meaning to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Also, the other reason why I think Sonny would be great is because when we did The View in the Bahamas, we flew down there. And I think it was like right after we did our last Watch What Happens Live together.
Yes.
But we went down there and it was so surreal because don't you agree? They were all exactly on game. They were all being exactly what you think.
Yes. By the way, I had a dream that I put in the book. I dreamt one night that I was executive producer of The View. And I woke up the next morning with all these great ideas for The View. And I called a friend of mine at ABC who works kind of with The View.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, I'm giving you these. So Joy today on The View said, so you want to be our executive producer? And I said, yeah. And I said, you know, with all due, I executive produce The Housewives. I don't think it's much different executive producing this show. Have you read that book about The View?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
love
like,
the book.
Yeah, it's kind of The Housewives as a talk show in a way.
The only thing I think that separates them is that I think the women of The View, and I've gotten this from Sonny sometimes when like Meghan would talk about it.
Right.
And you know who else really likes The Housewives is I think Alyssa Farah Griffin.
Yeah, she does.
And I get the sense that Sonny feels like a little superior about it. Like, I'm not doing that. And that is why we need her on it.
Yeah. But what do you think is like the barrier like the self-imposed barrier on people who are like, ah, it's not for me.
Well, I think the most common reason we lose housewives who we are excited about. And by the way, we failed in integrating Roni. That was a horrible fail.
It was an impossible situation.
I'm not talking about Ebony. I'm saying that it took that long. But what you need to know is we had been, every season, there were people
that kept moving.
Then it is the most common reason we lose people, husbands. At the end, there was someone so great that we almost had, I think in Bethany's either first season back or second, as long ago as that, we were really on it and trying every season.
Yeah.
And this amazing person who would have been so huge, the husband first said, I will not appear at all. We were trying to negotiate. Yeah. And then he stopped her from doing it. But that is the most common barrier. Sure. And then secondly, I think for someone like Sunny Austin, look, she's one of the stars of The View. She kind of doesn't need it.
She certainly doesn't.
Maybe
but if
she left The View or if that ended, then maybe she might say, oh, I think this could be great.
It could do such wonders.
It's a nice addition to her, portfolio.
Yes.
Exactly. But I mean, speaking of the husbands, I just really wanted to tell you this because it really educated me, I guess, is the whole Robin thing where I was like, oh, I thought there was always this carefully calibrated distance between like what the housewives want to share about their lives and what they don't. Like, right. And I thought like that was an agreed upon thing, like for everyone involved, like just whatever you want to share, we won't like bust in there like and like force things out of you. But like watching that interview on Watch What Happens Live, I was like, no, this makes total sense. Like this is her job.
Well, but especially since the entire season was about the women accusing everyone of infidelity.
Right.
And she had gone through it. And by the way, it would have been so relatable if she had said, you guys, I don't really want to talk about the specifics, but I busted Juan like DMing with someone and here's how it affected me. So this is serious what's going on and whatever. Like everyone would have been like, oh my God, that was so cool that you
vulnerable,
shared. You know,
yeah.
This is a fan perspective that we have. The green-eyed bandits have flown too close to the sun.
I know you're very upset.
It is. Andy.
No, I'm not.
I am very upset, but I also stand with many people.
Yes.
We are legion.
Here's what I think. It's fine when you have a housewife that is a producer type. You know what I mean? They're on the ground and they know how to get it. When they think that makes them invisible and they don't have to like participate as well.
But it's so conspicuous. It's not even invisible.
Well, it's like you said, it's sweaty.
It's sweaty.
It's sweaty. It's Giselle thinking, yeah, I know the producers. Whatever. I can do what I want.
You think she has special sway with the producers?
I think
that she probably sees herself more in like on their level than with the rest of the
cast. Interesting. I don't know. You know, the thing about Potomac that you have to remember is those are almost all OGs.
Yes.
So you've got four of them.
Yeah.
Karen, Giselle, Ashley, Robin, who have been on since day one.
Since forever, yeah.
So it's hard to put one apart.
It feels like Potomac has been our favorite franchise, and I think that like what's hard is seeing the Wendy and Candace get pushed to the point where they won't even speak to Wendy.
I know. I see that.
And I'm like,
I know.
And that to me would only happen with someone who thought they were better than the show.
Right.
Because if you didn't think you were better than the show, then you would play with the other cast members. But Giselle won't look at Wendy. She won't engage with Wendy. She won't tolerate Wendy.
Yeah.
She won't allow other people to do it. And now it's rubbed off on Robin, who I think does sort of like feel like a little bit of a lackey to Giselle. I know it's like people say that, whatever. They're both their own people, but like, it feels like not
what
good.
What I will say is that I think you'll be surprised by some stuff that's happening right now in the field.
Okay.
Very
exciting.
We ride hard for Wendy.
Yeah.
We don't want to see her get ignored.
I don't either.
Yeah, good.
There's been
internal notes. See? And then grab my hand.
When we speak up, we get answers.
Yes.
Oh, and things happen.
Things happen. All we have to do as a fan community is keep making our voices heard.
No.
And that's with voting. That's with housewives.
Yes.
Voting is the answer.
My favorite thing about housewives, though, is the way that these women, like, and it's actually helped me in my life, the way they navigate conflict styles. I will be honest with you. I used to be the kind of person who would not say something was bothering me. Watching Housewives, I saw people explain why they're feeling a certain way. And I said, maybe I'll never act like that. And maybe I would act like that. I think it's like sometimes it becomes inexplicable why you're on one housewife side and don't like another. It's like with Teresa and Melissa, I know from growing up in that part of the country, I get Melissa. I get her a lot. Teresa triggers me because it's everything about people I grew up with that I can't stand.
You know that woman.
I do.
I think that what's interesting about Teresa and Melissa, or not interesting, the way they were going at each other at the reunion, which will premiere in a couple of weeks, they were doing that thing in fighting where they each wanted to have the last word. Yeah. And it was wasting so much time. It's like, No, you did. Oh, you're ugly. I'm like, it was upsetting to me. Anderson pointed out to me the other day, I was in a situation with someone who actually was a guest on Watch What Happens Live, and I went in their dressing room before the show, and I don't want to say it wasn't a confrontation, but I felt like we needed to work something out before they came on the show. It was kind of like when you came and you were like, I feel like I upset you or whatever, and we talked it out. It was someone that Anderson said, I cannot believe that you had that conversation before the show. He goes, you have been in the middle of so much conflict that you have no problem now just getting to the heart of it and saying, look, we need to resolve this issue, whatever.
That, I think it's been helpful for me.
I honestly, if you vocalize shit, it does take the air out of the... You know,
I've felt like it's given me a way to feel
you have a model
less
for conflict resolution.
Yeah, and I really didn't
before. And you also know how not to do it.
Right.
Yes.
I was going to say, and I think this is a great thing, I feel like I've noticed this trend where I feel like you lose your patience more. The threshold is lower now at reunions.
I was talking about this last night. I think I do. I think I'm more free. Listen, I've been doing these reunions
I think it's great too.
17 years I've been doing these. Thousands and thousands of hours for real. And so I think that I'm just more comfortable. I don't think that it is a good look for me to be yelling at women, period. I don't like it. I always wind up apologizing to them 10 times. I'm so sorry I yelled at you. I apologize, Jersey. I was like, I'm so sorry I yelled at you. I was upset, whatever. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel good. It's not who I am. It's not the best representation of myself. So I think you're right. I have become closer to losing my shit.
But I think it's a way to release the valve because you only ever do it when it really gets so cacophonous that it's like, we have to relieve this.
But I also will say to the, sometimes I'll get a cut and I'm just like blasting off at them. I'm like, if we're going to keep this in, can you show the minute leading up to this so that you see, you know, that this wasn't just out of nowhere?
Yeah.
You have to know that we are in that Thunderdome for 10 plus hours of this. Mm-hmm. It's intense.
Especially when it's a conflict such as the one with Melissa and Teresa, where it's just entirely too, at this point, and it feels like every time someone is asked about it on Watch What Happens Live or even on the cast of Real Housewives of New Jersey, everyone's just kind of like, yeah, they shouldn't speak anymore.
Right. No, that's how I feel. I mean, Teresa's still bringing up shit that happened before Melissa came on the show, and they're both litigating. And the interesting thing is, I think they're both a little right about stuff. I mean, I don't think there's a clear side, which is why, by the way, it's still kind of interesting because there's no necessarily right or wrong.
If you, Matt, take your cultural background, for lack of a better term, out of it, then I guess, like, objectively, you might...
I would still... Okay, so if I'm looking at the situation objectively, and I am...
I agree with you, by the way. Like, I'm not super keen on Teresa.
I don't like even to say I'm Team Melissa.
Right.
And I think something that gets lost, like, in the thing of, like, you know, you go and watch What Happens Live and, like, you want to say something that's fun you know, push the show along. And of course, like, I appreciate and get how to do the show. But my thing is, it's almost, it's like this with the Green Eyed Bandits, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Every single year I turn on the show, I really try to have an open mind.
Yep, right.
And I root for Teresa. How could you not, watching from season one, how could you not root for Teresa? This is another reason why I did I Don't Think So, Honey, Gia, because she's like going up for her father who called her mother a cunt on television. Right. I'm like, this woman has been through hell. She went to prison for this man. Probably, look, I mean, it's Teresa. Did she know what she was doing was wrong? No, she wasn't thinking about it. She trusted someone. And to see her become this unmoving figure that has a lot of like negative energy around it. And I find Louis to be very negative, bad energy. And I don't think it's going in the right area. I'm not even looking at Andy as I say this. But I did, in my conversations with Melissa and Joe, they seem worried too. And it's just like, I'm sad for Teresa.
Okay.
I understand there's a fan base that thinks that you can't have Jersey without Teresa, but I would argue that Dolores is the star of New Jersey right now. And Dolores is one of my favorite housewives, and I enjoy watching her. I think Frank needs to get a grip, but... Love Frank, but get a grip.
I like Frank.
I love Frank, and I do feel for him, but also it's like... You can't demand anything of this woman. Right, she's already given you more than you deserve.
You cheated on her also. I mean,
like in one of the most vulnerable moments of her life, where she's raising a newborn.
Where do you stand with Frankie Jr.?
Where do I stand with Frankie Jr.? In terms of what?
Like, I don't know. I'm being
like how horny am I?
Yes, yes.
Pretty horny.
Right.
I mean, you see the way I react to like Evan Goldschneider. I miss Jackie. I love Jackie. She's still there,
Jackie,
obviously.
Too. I love Jackie.
But like,
you know what? There's a moment in the book where...
You say this.
She's on the show. She was on Watch What Happens Live, and I knew that we were demoting her the next day. And I felt so bad because I really like her, and I find her eating disorder struggle really
very honest.
Honest and
relatable.
Gonna
help a lot of women.
And helped a lot of women. I just thought it was as deep as we've gotten into that topic in a serious way, and I just thought it was so valuable. And the next time I saw her, she said, you know what? I'm going to be the best friend that's ever been on that show.
I was like, and she's done a great job.
Yeah.
She's been a great friend. And I always love seeing Evan.
So going back to the thing where when a housewife leaves and you're like, you will always be a part of this.
Right.
I'll bring you back. Is it because you're seeing like the total grand expanse of this? Like, and it's just
well, I just
ended.
Know how it works. I just know through the years. I mean, when Rinna left, you know, I was like, look, I was saying to her, I hope this is a pause, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, sometimes, look, if you're getting booed at BravoCon, then it's a toxic relationship. I mean, I don't know if you got to this part, but you know that the night of the reunion of Beverly Hills,
she texted
us all and quit. She texted all the producers.
Which I think is a revelation, honestly. I think that's something.
No one knows that.
People think that she was fired, but she voluntarily.
She did quit. Whether she still wanted to quit later, I don't know. I never discussed it with her again. But I think also she saw that day, wow, this is really heavy. You know, this was really
And I don't think she wants to be the villain.
She's really fun. I mean, she is.
I love Lisa Rinna.
Right. I mean, you know, if you... Anyway, so I said to her, I hope this is a pause.
I said that too.
To Portia too. Yeah. I mean, you know, I just, you know.
I have conflicted feelings about Portia.
Right.
Yeah. I think she started out strong on UGT, and then by the end I was like,
Well, why are you aligning with Giselle?
Well, they're good friends from Bravo's chat room.
Right.
Yes. So that's where that happened.
Right.
Yes.
And speaking as someone who's been on pause, I think there is a pathway back. Always.
Yes, for everyone.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Bowen.
And we want to introduce you to the new Cantina menu at Taco Bell.
Ooh. It's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients. Great as a lunchtime option.
Taste for yourself. The slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage,
yummy,
and new avocado verde salsa sauce.
Okay. With new menu options like Cantina chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla, there's something for everyone.
With this new Cantina chicken menu, the possibilities are endless.
Try the new Cantina chicken menu at Taco Bell.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, we would come back and do the show anytime.
Well, I want you to.
I mean, we want to
together.
We want to come. Well, Bowen wants to be on the Housewife. Who's your dream housewife to be on?
Oh my God.
This is a good question.
Just come up with it. We're going to make it happen.
Marisol.
Wow.
I would do
that
Marisol.
Would be amazing.
Okay. I want Marisol solo. Do you know what I mean? No Alexia.
Fine. Yes.
I'm not saying that's not a demand. I'm just saying, like, I'm so curious to see her.
That's your preference.
Love it.
Good. Okay, good. Well, then we need to do that.
I want to be on with Tamara. I think we would have a lot of fun.
Yes.
I think that Tamara's
really fun.
Tamara and I would
have
a lot of fun.
You and Tamara are similar energy.
Tamara, there's a whole sequence in the book about negotiating how we were going to announce Tamara's return, and she was coming on Watch What Happens Live with Vicky, and we didn't want to hurt Vicky's feelings. And then Vicky and Tamara get in a big fight. It's a whole mishigosh that happened.
For me, Tamara, and then I would really like to be on with Kyle. Beverly Hills is my favorite, and Kyle's protagonist of Beverly Hills, and I love Kyle Richards.
I would love to go on with Taylor. Taylor and I would have similar energies. Armstrong.
You and Taylor Armstrong?
I find her so interesting.
Is she getting an orange?
No, she's a friend.
I know, but there was rumors that she did so well that she got the orange.
She's a friend.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
You heard it here first, everyone. She did not get the orange, but probably did a great job.
I'm trying to I'm not going for the obvious choice, and maybe that's working.
You're going for Friends Up.
Yeah.
Because you want to sit in the chair next to Andy.
No. That's not, it's just that, these are people that I'm currently fascinated with.
By the way, if there is a lady and a man on Watch What Happens Live, the woman always sits
always.
Absolutely.
Of course.
That's what always happens. So, yes.
Do you remember when I was on, I think it was when we were on Together?
We were on Together.
No, when we were on Together, the people coming in after us was Garcelle and Heather.
Right.
Dubrow.
Yes.
And we helped you with the seating arrangement for that.
Trying to remember. Heather Dubrow.
Heather Dubrow and Garcelle.
And that was because Heather had seniority. She had been on the longest.
But originally.
We also look at where did they sit the last time they were on.
Right.
And then you also look at sometimes if a housewife is on with a big star, you put the star next to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And then sometimes, right now, Vanderpump Rules is
the hot
on. So tonight, Katie Maloney is on with Karen Gillan from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, we love
now,
Karen
Gillan. You know, Vanderpump is so hot, and they're all such superstars
she's
right now.
Next to you.
Katie Maloney sat next to me.
Oh, 100%.
But, you know, here's the thing. It makes me nuts, and this should be my rant, but it does make me nuts. There are two guests. There are only two chairs.
Right.
So there's no A chair and B chair. There's no demotion. Well, there's no second. Well, no. I mean,
Andy, it doesn't matter who sits in the front chair. Then why are you talking about it?
Well, because you guys brought it up. And I'm explaining how it works.
I think it matters.
Okay.
He brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
But what about the reunion seating?
We agonize over it. And
it's camps. It's who's on whose side.
The people next to me are the people in the most conflict that have been in the most drama. There are housewives like Candy who do not want to sit next to me because it means they're going to be in the hot seat for most of the reunion. A lot of times, though, people say, for Potomac, they all sat down. They're like, we don't understand this seating arrangement. There are people who you also can't seat next to each other because they hate each other so much. And also, you want for camera angles.
Yeah, camera angles.
If you and I are in a dispute.
Yeah.
And we're sitting next to each other. The camera angle is we're just looking at each other the whole time. You want them to be looking at each other directly. Mm-hmm. So you put them on opposite couches.
So it's less to do with these are the stars of the season.
Correct.
And more. Okay, okay.
Correct.
Then I had a different read on it.
By the way, Vanderpump, I think Vanderpump sat next to me once. on, oh, really? On Beverly Hills, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a fever dream I have, is LVP.
There used to be, there were many reunions where we would anticipate that a housewife was going to be so mad when they came out and saw where they were sitting. Uh-huh. And I would sit there and kind of watch their reaction.
Right.
And
was it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
It's producing on so many micro levels. And that's what's like astonishing to me. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
What you do.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
This might be the weed talking, but I'm like, I can't even begin to imagine.
Yeah, it's like playing chess, but with real people. But also there's like a filter before you make a move. You know what I mean? It's like, you're not making a move for yourself. You're making a move for someone else's. You know what? It's like,
it's chess with real people, and you have to like light them properly. You have to like design the board, mm-hmm, or whatever, right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Okay. This is I Don't Think So, Honey. This is our 60-second segment that we take every episode to rail against something in pop culture that we are just not feeling at the moment and we feel needs to be dragged to hell. I do have something, and I feel like because didn't get to see the light of day on television, it should happen right now.
Okay.
Do it.
This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, Gia. Mm. And it's not even really her fault. It's an extension. Go with me, please, to a few episodes ago on Real Housewives of New Jersey when Teresa was sitting with her kids and not only encouraging a discussion about Melissa and Joe, but involving yet another one of her children in the dynamic to talk on camera about this, about their family. Cut to Melissa and Joe. What do they do to Antonia? They say, please go into the house. This is not for you. I'm sorry, but I don't think so, honey, one of those people. And I do think so, honey, the other. And I don't understand people on Twitter who act the way they act on behalf of Teresa, and she says nothing. And that does not get brought up enough.
15 seconds.
I don't think so, honey. The fact that I sit next to Melissa and I get death threats. It's wild. To be Melissa on social media is a hellscape. And what does Teresa do? She says nothing. But she expects Melissa to leave when they're at an event and she's uncomfortable. It's bullshit, and I don't think so.
That's 1 minute. I've been using this term more often lately, just as it's being overused in like the zeitgeist, but it is like, I think Teresa's affliction is like just thinking she's the main character in every situation.
She is wild. And I'm sorry, but look, it's one thing to like be in a conflict on the show and to have a difference of opinion. But if you're going to rake through the sand and find little things, there's one huge thing, which is that Melissa and her family get social media bullied like no one else, I would say, in the Housewives franchise.
The way, the Jersey Twitter since the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The people, what they used to say to Caroline Manzo.
Yeah.
Like, it's been really, the Jersey fans on Twitter from the beginning have been really brutal.
It's wild. And I think that's like one thing where it's like, that doesn't really get brought up on Jersey that much. And I actually Joe and Melissa for not going there.
It actually, of course, came up on the reunion this
week. Well, and, yes. And maybe it's time that it does.
Okay. Is it making it in the cut?
I am seeing everything tomorrow, okay. As a matter of fact, so I'll let you know.
Great. That's going to be a really tough one. Really tough one.
It is.
That's mine. And it has less to do with you, Gia. It's just that you don't understand, I think, and I think you will later, that this isn't a healthy thing for you. And you're getting in a full beat to be in confessionals. And can I say something? You look stunning. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and he's galvanized and high as fuck. And he's going to do it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you going to do the one you said?
I'm going to do the one I said. Yeah.
Here we go. This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Giselle Bryant. I mean, you're basically a fucking scullery maid scouring the dirty pots of everyone else's lives when those pots aren't even that dirty. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Classe Azul thing is like so fucking boring.
It's fake.
And this is a person, it's so sad. This is a person who, like, looks at herself in the mirror in such a way that, like, she cannot possibly see herself reflected back. She has no sense of who she is.
30 seconds.
And she's just bored. She's as simple as that logic. She's as simple as that logic. Giselle, I mean, it is just talking to fill the silence at certain points. It is, I don't know. She's a fucking like pimple on the backside of the show. I fucking hate her. And I would be so thrilled if she were never on my television again, but I know that's not going to happen, so I've accepted that.
And that's 1 minute. Here's the thing. I always have said she has star quality.
But I disagree.
You don't think she has star quality?
I think it's sweaty. Oh, we've had this discussion
stars
before.
Stars have been sweaty before. You ever seen Mick Jagger?
I think she at one point was a star. I have.
Jagger. I don't know.
And then I think she, like, it was slipping from her at some point.
She's very editable.
It's like that challenge on Survivor when you have to hold a position, you have to hold a fucking oar on your head right. for like 4 hours. You start to wobble a bit. She's wobbling.
I think that she... And I always feel like they try to humble her and they try to comfort her, but she just like doesn't move or doesn't care. And then yeah. I'll say the moments in what I really like her is when she opens up and like I really love her with her kids. Because yeah, you can tell she's... And that's the thing is I'm like, maybe I would like you more if like I felt like you were as authentic with the rest of the women and with the audience as you clearly are with your children. Because there's something happening behind closed doors when the cameras aren't on that like allows you to have this like incredible bond with them. I'm just wondering at what point
it
meets through. I know you can probably say nothing about this.
Yeah. Watch next season of Potomac.
if she goes on a journey, I'm so thrilled to go on that journey with her.
Me too.
Me too.
Okay.
You ready for mine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Andy Cohen, you've never gotten to do one.
No, I haven't.
And there's been a couple times where, like, especially live, just kidding, I would never do this. Maybe I would. Like, when we were on with you, I was like, Andy, you do one.
Right.
And then you would have had to live whip one out.
I know.
So to speak.
Well, mine is based on something that happened earlier in the broadcast. I don't think so.
Okay, wait, let's try. We're gonna cue you in.
This is Andy Cohen's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. I am not high on Watch What Happens Live.
Oh.
Every night when the show comes on, people think I'm stoned because my eyes are red half the time. I have allergies. I'm a Jew. I wear contacts. I have spilkas with my eyes. Mm. I'm not funny high. Mm. I mean, I'm funny off camera high, but I would never go on camera high. No. It would be a bad show. I would be in my head.
Yeah, you have to manage
it would
a lot.
Be poor. I don't do it. I talk about it all the time. I would never do it. It would be a disservice to Bravo. It would be a disservice to you, the viewers, the listeners. I do not do it. Was there a time on New Year's Eve with Anderson where maybe I popped an edible after midnight?
Sure.
Yes, yeah. I did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Big beautiful. Deal. I would never do it on camera. It's not me. Maybe Amy Sedaris and I have taken an edible on Radio Andy for our holiday hangout. That's it. Never on Watch What Happens Live. I don't think so, honey. I'm not high.
Oh, and that's 1 minute.
You do describe in the book taking an edible to time it so that right as you go home, you're like it hits.
There
which
are
I love.
Times during the second commercial break of the show, which means there's 4 minutes left in the show, and then we have a very quick after show. I occasionally will take my edible, and then when the after show is ending or I'm kibitzing in the control room, I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Lovely.
And I glide away.
Yeah.
Perfect. But I'm going to say, is that even so bad? But I feel like you're such a professional. You would never do this. Mm-hmm. But like, it's not like a hostile thing. It's not like a thing.
Well,
that
no, of course it isn't. You can just,
of course, it's a lot. It's a lot
to manage, but also I want to do a good job and I'm working for a big corporation and I respect my relationship with them and with the viewers. I don't want to be bad. Now, if we did a show, we did Watch What Happens Live from LA a few times and weed was legal in California. And I went to the execs at Bravo and said, I want to take an edible at the beginning of Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah, what
when we are live on the air and watch what happens live. Has a host ever done an edible on TV?
The face
live?
Of marijuana.
Yes, it would be amazing. And there was some reason why I couldn't do it. You know, maybe I'll be able to do it. I tried to do it on CNN when they said we couldn't drink this year. I was like, I'm going to take an edible.
Are they going to lift that rule? That
I
was
hope
so
yeah.
stupid.
I hope so.
Come
I hope
on. So. Also, not for nothing, but everyone in New York City hated de Blasio. What, is this person going to get in trouble because he said it? He's horrible, and Adams is worse.
I don't think it was as much about my rant on de Blasio as much as it seems like CNN is just trying to rein every bit of personality
oh, they are.
Back.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's the down limit of it all. It's like, they're like, we can't, like, everyone needs to be like, in the middle,
mm-hmm.
like literally.
That's
yeah.
Behaviorally, anyway, politically.
I hope we can drink this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must.
I mean, listen.
I hope you're both okay with me. I feel like I've managed it okay.
Well, you were amazing. You were incredible. But it made me think of it because when you said, oh, I'm a little high, whatever, and I was thinking, because I was trying to think what mine was going to be. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is perfect because everyone always thinks I'm high. But I'm not. You were brilliant.
You're also getting shit in your ear.
Yes.
Like your brain is like semi-scrambled no matter what.
You know when we do this high? When we're just by ourselves.
Yeah.
When we just have episodes that's just Bowen and I.
And I'm sure
we're
that
like
that's
incredibly baked. And it's a completely different vibe. But like we would never.
It's
like,
not languid. When we're both high, it's not like we're like slow.
Yeah, right.
No.
It's just
we're incredibly brilliant and sharp and doing handstands.
Yeah, you two aren't slow.
But speaking of incredibly brilliant and sharp and doing handstands, you stunt on everybody in this goddamn business.
True.
And you're the best in the biz.
Thank you. The best in the biz. Wow. Showbiz.
This is such a huge day for us that you came to do this.
You guys are so nice. Thank you for reading the book. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed
it. Daddy Diaries is out now.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
No, I mean, this is just the beginning.
And
this is Las Culch, and we end every episode with a song.
Must really think I'm playing.
Reverse the conversation. Trust me, that's not what you want. Love you, girl.
I don't do back and forth. I want another flag on the play.
Now, if you want to hear the rest of that, you can stream Deep Space Deluxe Edition.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Mwah, bye.
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 The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.